Song number 146, Shelter in the Time of Storm.
Check. Check. Good to see everybody out tonight. Thanks for coming to Faithful Word. Of course, we got our service times listed there. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. again at 5:30 p.m. Thursdays at 7. We're in 1 Kings. We'll be in chapter number 4 tonight. Below that, we got the salvations and baptisms for both the month and year. And did we have any salvations to report for this week tonight? Going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? We got one? See, that's why I ask, because two. See, that's why I asked twice right there. So, amen. And then a couple notes there about the church. Please be sure to silence your cell phones at this time if you haven't already done so. And then over the right-hand side, we got the New Testament 90-Day Challenge. If you're working on that, January 1st through March 31st. And you got the plan there below that as well, so just keep working along. You don't have to use that plan if you want to just get it done, as long as it's done between those dates. Can't use what you started last year and say, well, I read part of it last year. It's got to all be done, the whole thing, within these 90 days. And then below that, don't forget this Sunday, February 6th, we're going to have our donuts before the morning service at 10 a.m., so come out early for that and join us and have a donut, coffee, and milk in honor of those celebrating both their birthdays and anniversaries in the month of February. We've got Mexico Monday, of course, that I believe just took place. I'm losing track of time. What is the date? The 3rd. So no, that's yet to come. February 7th, so next Monday. If you're planning on going, please sign up on the back. There should be a sign-up sheet back there on the countertop. On the back, we've got Operation Confiscation still going in full swing. Of course, everybody here pretty much knows how that's working. If you replace a false version with the KJV, you bring that back, you know, you're out soul winning in your personal life, and it doesn't matter when or who or where this takes place. It doesn't have to be during soul winning. You know, if you want to just talk to someone in your personal life, whenever, you can just go ahead, and as long as that transaction takes place, and you're not just going to the Goodwill and buying false versions to bring them here and throw them in there, just buy yourself the Cambridge at that point, okay? But if you can go ahead and make those exchanges, sign your name. The wastebasket is actually out front near the soul winning supplies and the invites and things like that, just right of the baptismal tank. Sign, throw that in there. Of course, you know the drill. We'll count those up at the end of the year, and we'll hand out the Cambridge Bibles. And I should have the final, you know, there's three different, I keep wanting to say versions, that's wrong. There's three different styles of Cambridge Bible that we're having. I should have the third one here Sunday. So, and if you ever want to look at them, they're all in here. You're welcome to come up here, pull those out, and take a look. Just please treat them nicely. Don't forget, we get the children's weekly Bible memory passage. How many of the kids are going to knock this out? How many kids? We got? All right, that's right. I almost want to make it a rule that you have to come say it to me this week, just so I can hear you say, "I am small and despised." It worked out great. But you don't have to say it to me. Say it to an unrelated adult, a non-relative, and make sure you, and again, adults, please make sure they're saying it word perfect. No stuttering, no stammering, no very long pauses. I know sometimes we have to pause and think, but if it's, sometimes they just need to start over, especially when it's just a couple verses. It shouldn't take long. So below that, we've got the other upcoming events. Go ahead and take note of that. That's going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching tonight.
Corinthians chapter 4, as always, we'll read the entire chapter. Please follow along silently as we read from 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1, the Bible reads, "So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were the princes which he had, Azariah, son of Zadok, the priest, Elijah, and Ahiah, son of Shisha, scribes, and Asaph, the son of Ahiah, the porter, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Azariah, son of Nathan, was over the officers, and Zadok, the son of Nathan, was principal officer, and the king's friend, and Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was over the tribune, and Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month as a year for his division. And these are the names, the son of Hur, and Monisra, the son of Dekar, and Nakaz, and Shealim, and Bethshemesh, and Elnon Bethany, son of Hesed, and Arubah, to him pertains Sophia, and all the land of Hepha, son of Abinadab, and all the region of Dor, which had Taphath, the daughter of Solomon's wife, Gamer, the son of Ahilah, to him pertain Tanath, and Megiddo, and all Bethshean, which is by Zartana, beneath Jezreel, and from Bethshean, to Abel Meholah, Gamer to the place that is beyond Bethneen, son of Geber, Nimrod Gilead, to him pertain the towns of Jair, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, to him also pertaining the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, three score great cities with walls and crazy bars, Ahinabad, the son of Iddo, had made a name, Ahimaaz, who was in Naphtali, he also took Basmah, the daughter of Solomon's wife, Bana, the son of Hushan, was in Asher, and Elah, Jehoshaphat, the son of Perua, and Issachar, Shimei, the son of Elah, and Benjamin, Heber, the son of Uri, was in the country of Gilead, and the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and he was the only officer which was in the land. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea, a multitude, eating and drinking, and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. He brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 3 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of pastures, and 100 sheep beside harts and roebucks and fallow wool and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsah even to Azza, over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on all sides of the Lord about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan into Beersheba, called the name of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon, and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries for affairs of the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand was on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, for all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, and Ezrae, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Nabal, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake a tree, and a cedar tree, and a Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also a beast, and a fowl, and a creeping things, and fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which heard his wisdom. For that, Mr. Pickles.
Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, Lord God. Just thank you for taking care of us, and thank you for all the good in our lives, Lord. We just give you glory and honor today, Lord God, and ask you to bless the preaching. Just fill Brother Corbin with your spirit, Lord God, and allow him to just preach boldly your truth from your word, Lord God, and just give us ears of understanding, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
That this is a picture of the millennial reign. So, you know, I could point that out week to week. We could kind of go look at the things, and maybe you noticed some things here tonight already. But I think what I want to do is just maybe come back and kind of recap all that when we kind of get towards the end of Solomon's life in the next few chapters here. But there are definitely some parallels. But really the thing I think I want to focus on tonight is more towards the end there where we see that Solomon reigned over the kingdoms and that he has all this glory given to him. And that, but more importantly, that he was a very wise man. There was a reason why people wanted to come and see Solomon and hear the things that he had to say. It's because of the fact that he had something to say, because he had knowledge. And I think, of course, that's right there a picture of the millennial reign of Christ. You know, people are going to want to hear the wisdom of Christ that's given to him, that he has. And that's one parallel. But really, that's where we can make application tonight. And the fact that Solomon had this abundance of knowledge. It said there in verse 21, "And Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. They bought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life." And again, this was a time of peace. This wasn't a time when Solomon, these people are bringing these gifts, these people are bringing all these things to Solomon. They're coming and hearing what he has to say. They're honoring him, they're paying him tribute. But it's not because he's laid siege to the whole land. It's not because he has some vast army out there, although he was very well armed, obviously. But he didn't have to go out and do that. And again, that's a parallel of Christ's kingdom, where it's going to be peace or else, you know, and that's one that's there. But you know, people are coming and doing this because of the fact that Solomon was such a wise king, he was such a good king. They wanted to know what he knew. They wanted to have the knowledge that he had. And really, that's something that we should endeavor to have in our lives. We should be people that have knowledge, that have something to share with other people. And of course, when we talk about that, probably the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is that we should have the knowledge of the gospel. We should be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. We should be ready to share that knowledge with other people. That should be something that other people can come to us for and learn from us. We should learn how to give the gospel to our loved ones, to our friends, to relatives, you know, and people at work, and also, of course, just people that we go out and meet in the community. We knock their doors. You know, that's something that a knowledge that we need to be impart. But you know, there's a lot of other things that we should learn and should be people that are have a reputation for knowing. You know, we should know how to raise our families. You know, we should know how to handle our finances. We should know how to live our lives. We should know how to do all these other things. And you know, and I'm not trying to preach some kind of you know, lifestyle evangelism here, but look, that is going to make an impression on people. You know, a lot of times people have a hard time with witnessing to close relatives, witnessing to people that know them well, because of the fact that, well, they know you well. They know what you used to be like. They knew what you used to do, what your attitude was like. Now you're a Christian, you're on this bandwagon, right? And a lot of times they're not going to give you the time of day because of the fact that, you know, they think, well, this is just a kick you're on, right? And why should I listen to you? You're no different than anybody else. And again, I'm not saying you need this as an approach of lifestyle evangelism, but the fact is that if you give it time, if you show them that, hey, I actually know some things about the Word of God, I know how to live my life, I know how to raise my kids, I know how to handle myself, I know how to keep myself out of sin, I know how to keep myself out of the situations that you keep finding yourself in, eventually they're going to want to hear what you have to say. Now, that's kind of a picture, and that's application we can make here with Solomon, is that these people wanted to come and hear what he had to say, because he had something to say. We need to meet people that have something to say, which means you have to have the knowledge, right? That's what you have to have. And he had that wisdom. And of course, there in 22, it says, "And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal." So it just goes on and tells you about just this abundance of everything that he had. And of course, this is what he was feeding his servants and those that were serving under him. This is something that he had for the people that were under his care. 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep beside harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. And, you know, he must have been a Baptist, right? And it goes on, it says, "For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river from Tipsa even to Aza, over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely under every man under his vine and every man under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba." And that phrase, "from Dan even to Beersheba," means from the entire kingdom, from the north to the south. And they had that whole reign, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon for all that came unto Solomon's table. Every man in his month, they lacked nothing. So he's got these officers that are appointed to go and collect these things from the different nations, as you read there in the beginning. But notice there in verse 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. So of course there was this certain degree of supernatural, you know, God-given ability and knowledge that Solomon had. But also, I think that maybe we shouldn't underestimate the fact that Solomon was probably a learned man. He's probably somebody who spent time studying things and learning things and knowing things. Of course, he gave him wisdom, he gave him understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, meaning I believe it's saying there is that he gave him, you know, the capacity to learn these things and to understand these things, even as the sand is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, and Ethan and the Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda and the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about him. Now, obviously, I don't think any one of us is ever going to reach this level of wisdom, right, where we have just this, you know, profound wisdom, this profound understanding where nations are paying tribute to us and coming to us. But we have to understand something. I don't want people to just read that and think, well, you know, we can't have any wisdom because that's something only God gives. You know, we still have to be people that learn things. And that's really what I want to apply tonight. We should be people that are continually trying to learn new things and never just get to this place in our life where we just say, you know what, I can't learn anything new. I'm not going to study anything new. You know, I know everything I need to know. You know, don't assume that. You know, you need to learn. And sometimes people will say things like, well, I just don't feel like I can learn anymore. You know, I just feel like, you know, I don't have the ability to learn new things. I'm just kind of in a rut. Well, you know, this should be a great story for us to read then, because it says here that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding. You know, if we prayed and asked God for wisdom and understanding, he'd give it to us. If we prayed and asked God to help us to be wise of heart and have understanding and knowledge, you know, God would give that to us. We have to ask for it, though. And Solomon's knowledge, you know, was obviously God-given here, but also I want us to understand that Solomon's knowledge was learned. I don't believe it was just all the supernatural. I believe God definitely gave him the ability and the capacity to learn a lot more than most people, obviously. But I believe that a lot of that still was something that he was able to discover for himself. Okay, and God gave him that ability. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. And this is one of his Proverbs. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So yes, God conceals a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. That's what Solomon said. Meaning, yes, God gave him the supernatural ability, but ultimately, you know, Solomon had to search out things. You know, he had the largest enough heart, he had an ability, and of course he was in a position to be able to learn a lot of things, right? It was his honor to go and search out a matter. Now, if you would, go over to Proverbs chapter 22. Go over to Proverbs chapter number 22. You know, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have gone before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And notice, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is a vexation of spirit. So, but notice, he said there that he gave his heart to know wisdom. You know, he was somebody that still sought out a thing. He was still somebody who tried to learn things. You know, it wasn't just like, it was like some scene from, you know, The Matrix forever, where he just gets plugged in and all of a sudden he just downloads all this information into his brain, right? Sorry for the worldly illustration, okay? But that, you know, that's not that kind of thing where God just magically downloaded all this wisdom. I believe that he still had to search out these things. It's just that he had the capacity to do it. And the application that we can take from this is that we should be people that seek knowledge. We should be people that seek knowledge in our lives. Never assume you've arrived and just saying, well, you know, I know everything I need to know. Look, you probably do know everything you need to know, you know, once you get to a certain point to just survive, you know, to do your job and to pay your bills and just live life, right? We've all gotten there. But we should never just say, well, that's all I need to know. We should be people who are trying to learn. You know, how about just for the sole fact so that you don't become senile in your old age? You know, that's probably one of the scariest things to think about, isn't it? You know, some of us, it's a million miles away, right? But some of us were like, that's tomorrow. You know, we're gonna be there before we know it. You know, that's something I think about more and more. Is like, I don't want to end up just being some 250-pound liability for my wife, you know, where my biggest goal in life is just not fall over. You know, I want to actually, in my old age, still be able to get up and preach the Word of God and be able to teach people things and teach my family things and to be a source of witness, somebody who's still able to learn something even in my old age. But the only way that's going to happen is if I start doing that now. You know, you should start learning things and new things now. Start, you know, training your mind to learn. Because we've all met these people. You know, more than likely, you meet people, if you pay attention, where they can't learn anything new. I've seen this out soul winning. You know, somebody pointed out this to me once. We were out soul winning, and there's a sweet old lady, you know, probably well into her 80s, but there was just no getting through to her because she was just a robot at that point. She just had a script that she had just followed for decades and never tried to expand her mind, never tried to learn new things, and her mind has just gotten into this just, you know, where it's just going through the motions. And no new, you know, there's nowhere where new data can be input. It's just blocked, right? It's just going through the motions. Look, that's scary. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to get into my old age and just be somebody who's going through the motions. So to avoid that, you have to be somebody who seeks knowledge now, who wants to discover a matter now, be people who are learning now. You know, kids that are in school, when you get out of school, don't stop your education there. Don't say, oh, I graduated, I'm done learning. You know, that's not a good idea. We should be lifelong learners. We should be people who are always trying to learn new things. You know, reading books, trying to get knowledge and understanding. We should be seeking those things. Never assume you've arrived. Seek knowledge. Of course, you know, the most important thing we need to seek knowledge about is the Bible itself. You know, we should be seeking knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God. The Bible says in Hosea, I'll read to you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what God said about his people. He said they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, not having knowledge will get you destroyed. That's what it's saying there. There's some things that you could avoid in life if you just had known about it. You know, there's just, you know, I could have not ruined my marriage. I could have not ruined my children. I could have not ruined my life in some way if I had just known better. But the Bible says that people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And he says specifically, I would say that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That God's own people are destroyed. You know, a lot of times God's people are chastened. You know, sometimes God's the one that's doing the destroying. God's the one that's having to come down on them because they don't know what's expected of them in the Word of God because they don't know the Bible. They don't have the knowledge of it. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Say, well, I don't need to know what's in here. It's really not that important. You know, I mean, it's just a bunch of, you know, do's and don'ts. It's just a bunch of, you know, rules. How important could it be? And then God chastens you. Because, and look, ignorance is not you know, an excuse. You can't just say, well, I didn't know. He said, well, look, you reject knowledge, I'll reject you. I will reject thee. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Thou hast forgotten the law, I also will forget thy children. I mean, of course, that's something that he's saying specifically to the nation of Israel. That's judgment that he's pronouncing on them. But look, we could apply that to our own lives, where we could just say, well, God, I didn't know. It's like, well, what else? I mean, what more did you need? It's all right there. You could have known any time you wanted. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 17. So we should be people that seek to be wise, to people that have knowledge, and not just go through life thinking, well, I already know everything. You know, I've already read the Bible a few times. I don't need anything else that's in there. You know, I go to church and I hear, I don't need to study anything else on my own. No, we should be people that seek knowledge. He said in Proverbs 22, verse 17, bow down thine ears and hear the words of the wise. Now, notice how you hear the words of the wise. You have to what? Bow down thine ear. You know, that's a lot of time, that's why people can't receive new things. They can't receive knowledge because it requires humility. They're too proud to bow down their ear and say, okay, teach me something. Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto knowledge. It's not just something that's just going to come in and of itself. And look, there's so many people that are just living their life today and just going through this world with no knowledge that are not applying their hearts. I mean, we are living in a very dumbed down society today. We're living in a society where people just have the shortest attention spans, where, you know, it's just all about entertainment. It's just all about the next fun thing. They don't want anything to do with knowledge. They don't want anything to do with instruction. They don't want anything to do with learning. They just want to be entertained. That's not gonna make you a wise person. What that's going to make you is a victim. People are going to take advantage of you because you don't have knowledge. You're going to be destroyed. That's why he says, apply thine heart unto knowledge. Well, that sounds like work. Yeah, well, that doesn't sound like much fun. Well, you know what? Being senile is not much fun either. I'm pretty sure, you know, being senile in my old age, that probably wouldn't be much fun for some people. You know, having God chasing me because I don't know the word of God, I don't have knowledge, you know, that doesn't sound like fun either. So we might as well apply our hearts now and get the wisdom and get the knowledge and get the understanding now, you know, and we can have the fun later when we're not being destroyed, when we're not being chastened, when we haven't lost our minds in our old age. He says in verse 18, "For is it a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee? They shall withal be fitted in thy lips." Don't you like having the right answer? Isn't that a very satisfying thing? You know, you almost have to hold back and not being too smug about it, right? When you have the words that are just fitted in thy lips. When someone has a question or a problem, and you're like, ah, I've got the answer, right? And that's usually it's because, you know, you learned that, right? You know, you went through that or you understood something, you studied something out. That's a good feeling, isn't it? But that comes after you apply your heart. That comes after you bow down your ear. He said in verse 20, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and in knowledge?" So do not be ignorant of the Bible. There's a lot of counsel and there's a lot of knowledge in God's Word. That's the primary thing that we read. That's the primary thing that we learn and study. You know, but there are also other things that we could learn. You know, if we haven't done a lot of Bible reading, you know, we should go through a season in our life where this is the only book that we read. You know, sometimes people get this attitude where it's like, well, I just don't read anything but the Bible. You know, there are other books that are worth reading. You know, there are other books that we can glean knowledge from and get understanding from that would help us in our lives besides the Bible. And what I often find is that when you read these other books, you know, if they're teaching some principle or something like that, a lot of times without even, you know, it's some unsaved author, it's not, it has anything to do with the Bible, without them even knowing it, they're preaching some, you know, a biblical principle. You know, they start teaching finances like, oh, that lines up with the Bible. You know, they'll be teaching about, you know, child rearing or education or whatever the topic is, and without them even knowing it, they're teaching biblical principles. So yeah, start with the Bible. Start there. Get the understanding, get the knowledge, get these excellent things that God has written unto us out of here. But after that, you know, add to that. Add some other books. Well, I'm not a reader. I don't like reading. Well, look, you know what? Start liking it. You know, read something. You know, get an audible book. Learn something that you didn't know. Even if it's a boring subject, you know, just reading something for the sake of reading, just to become a better reader. You know, so when you do finally read something you like, you're good at it, right? Just to keep the wheels in your mind turning. You know, to keep those gears lubricated so they don't seize up in your old age, where you just can't learn anything new. You don't want to be that. Learn of these things. Learn of the Bible. Learn of other things. Are you still back there in 1 Kings chapter number 4? It goes on, it says in verse 32, "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Notice the things that the wisdom that he had. "And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even under the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes." So, you know, he's a botanist, right? He's speaking about, you know, he's an arborist. He's talking about these trees. He's talking about animals. He's talking about fish and all these other things. He's not just only talking about the things that are found in the Word of God. He's talking about things that are found in the creation of God. You know, sometimes that's a good thing to learn. Just learn about your natural world. Learn about the things that surround you. You know, learn about what's in this you know, area. You know, I just talked to somebody last night, and they said, "Hey, did you know that one of the best hummingbird areas is in, you know, right around in Tucson?" I said, "I didn't know that." And I love hummingbirds, They're cool. Who doesn't like hummingbirds, though? I mean, come on. If you don't like hummingbirds, just get out, right? Cool little bird, right? But, you know, that did you know that about here? We go learn about those things. You know, we take the field trip up to Rooster Cogburn's ostrich ranch. We learn that Brother Corbin likes to kiss goats, right? I should probably explain. You can go there, you can put the food in your mouth, and the goat will come up and just take it right out of your lips, you know, and yes, I did it several times, all right, just because it was fun, and I like getting a reaction out of people. But you can go there and learn things about these animals. And look, that's something we're so far removed from in this day and age, especially those of us that dwell in a city, you know, where we don't have a lot of agriculture, we don't have a lot of farm, we don't have a lot of, you know, a lot of animals, farm animals and things like that to see that. A lot of people didn't realize that goats have weird eyes. You know, they have like those little rectangular pupils. But when you go see it, look at a goat, you're like, oh, I learned something about a goat. So why would I want to learn about the natural world? Well, I don't know, Solomon did, and he was one of the wisest of all men. You know, and how about this? It makes for a good conversation. You ever sit down with some people and just say you want to, and it's people you like, but you're just kind of like, I don't know what to talk about. But then you're like, oh, I read a book. You know, I've been going around just preaching the gospel of no caffeine for a while now because I read that stupid book. Right? Everyone here has had that conversation with me. Let me tell you how caffeine works, right? You know, I've started the book on sleep, so now you're going to have to put up with that. You know, if I'm going to corner somebody in the church after service someday and start talking about what happens when you go to sleep, right? But look, I didn't learn that from the Bible. You know, the Bible does talk about sleep. You know, he giveth his beloved rest. But those are things that, you know, man has discovered, that it's been the honor of man to uncover a thing, right? God conceals a matter. It's the honor of a king to search a thing out, right? You know, God gives us, you know, I think God conceals some things because he wants us to engage our minds. He wants us to pursue these things and learn about the world that he's created, how our bodies work, how the world works, what, you know, nature's like. I mean, that's what we see here in the chapter tonight, folks. He's speaking of trees, right? He's speaking of beasts and of fowl. You know, he had something to talk about. You know, when you go soul winning with Pastor Anderson, I've noticed is sometimes you get a botany lesson along the way. I've gotten more than one botany lesson from him. He'll be like, oh, do you know what kind of cactus this is? Oh, do you know this plant that, you know? It's because he studied that, because he actually took the time to learn about those things. Like, oh, that's interesting. And now I'm learning about the state that I live in. Did you know a saguaro cactus could crush a car? Did you know that? It's so full of water. You look at that thing and say, that doesn't look very dangerous. If it fell on you, it would crush you, right? That's something I learned, right? Because somebody else took the time to figure that out. So, you know, I'm just trying to encourage tonight to not just be people who just say, well, I'm not learning anything new. You know, I'm too busy. I don't want to learn anything. You know, sometimes it would behoove us to, you know, put the remote down and actually pick up a book and read it and make ourselves learn something new. You know, something interesting. You know, there's a lot of great things to learn. You know, but you have to make time to learn. You have to make time to learn, don't you? You know, you're going to have to sacrifice some other things in order to learn. You know, and while we're talking about learning and education, you know, let me just, you know, touch on this, is that, you know, you should consider it a privilege to receive an education. You know, especially the young people in the room, the kids, you know, that are being homeschooled, that are in school. You know, let me just remind you that it's a privilege to be educated. You know, because I know it's work, and I know kids, you know, they get bored and they want to just go run around outside, do something else. And, you know, mom, you know, is making them do the schoolwork. You know, the teacher is making them do the schoolwork. You know, they go, oh, you know, they got to drag themselves through. I don't want to do this. Well, whenever you feel like that, let me just remind you that it's a privilege for you to be learning something. You know, if you learn to read, you know, that's a huge advantage that a lot of people didn't have for a very long time. A lot of people, kids just grew up illiterate, never learned to write their own name. You know, and think about that. People could take serious advantage of you. You know, I mean, I've read books about the Native Americans. That was they were illiterate. They didn't have a written language. They were signing contracts with the U.S. government. They had no idea what they were signing. They would just, a lot of times they wouldn't even know how to write their own name. They said, well, just touch the pen to the paper. And they'd say, oh, you signed it. Now all your land's ours or whatever, you know. I mean, that's and I'm just using it as an illustration to show you that, look, that's how important education is. And never take that for granted. Never take learning as something like you can just drag yourself through. Look, there's a lot of benefits to getting wisdom, to getting knowledge, to getting understanding. Yes, of the Word of God, of course, primarily, but of other things too. You know, they keep you from being a victim. You know what victims love? They love entertainment. They just entertain me. Just bread and circus, just all day long. Right? But you know what leaders love? People who actually get things done, they love education. Leaders love education. That's a quote I read somewhere. Victims love entertainment. Leaders love education. You know, learn to love education. Learn to love knowledge and learning things. Go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, Proverbs is a book that talks a lot about the importance of getting wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And I think it's a book that we should all be in every day. You know, get in the habit of reading one chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters. Most months, you know, there's 31 months. You know, you got an odd month here and there, or 31 days in a month, excuse me. But, you know, you could get through Proverbs several times. And look, you'll learn things about life. You'll learn things. You'll be warned just by reading the book of Proverbs. But if you read Proverbs, one thing you'll notice is how much it emphasizes people getting knowledge and getting understanding and getting wisdom. How important it is for us to not be without knowledge, to have wisdom, to have understanding. You say, well, I know I'd rather just entertain myself. I'd rather just, you know, learning things is too hard. You know, learning something, reading is boring. You know, I'd rather just waste time on something that's just going to entertain me, right? Well, consider Ezekiel. I know you're going to Proverbs 4. He said in Ezekiel 16, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. He said that was the sin of Sodom. Now look, we know what the sin of Sodom was ultimately. It was sodomy, right? A lot of people turn to this and say, well, that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because the cry, you know, the cry of it was great. And he went down to see if the things were so. And he found out, yeah, that's why. And that's why he destroyed it, folks. But this is what led to that. Pride and what? Fullness of bread. You know, pride and you know, I don't want to learn. I don't need anything to learn anything. I already know everything that I need to know. Pride. Fullness of bread. You know, just I have everything I need. And what? Abundance of idleness. Of just passing time, just wasting hours. You know, just being idle. He said in Proverbs 19, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It's not good to not have knowledge, folks. We should be people who want to be wise and have wisdom, and have knowledge, and have understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, get wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Look, if you embrace wisdom, if you go after wisdom, if you seek for it, if you get these things, if you do not decline from the words of her mouth, look, it's look at all the benefits you get from it. It shall preserve thee. It shall keep thee. You know, it's going to help you in life to learn about these things, to learn different things, learn, you know, all manner of subjects. Look, obviously we don't need to learn about fish. maybe that would be something we should learn about. I don't know. Probably not here in Arizona. You know, but we could learn about a lot of other things. But look, you say what would it benefit me from understanding the local botany? From learning some, you know, obscure fact about an animal or something like that. Here's how it would benefit you. Just that your mind would learn how to learn. Just that your mind would be in the habit of taking in new information. That's how it would benefit you. So then when something that really is important comes across, you know, comes across your path, some information that you really do need to learn to retain, your mind just knows how to do it. Because, yeah, because I read some book about some guys that went down to the South Pole, you know, and got stuck. You know, I read some book about Custer, you know, that arrogant general that went out and got slaughtered. What's that going to benefit me in this life? Well, nothing really. I mean, maybe I could bore you with a story about Custer later. You know? But here's how it'll benefit me is that my mind, you know, has gotten into the process of absorbing new information. Rather than just, you know, staring at a screen somewhere, and just letting it just be forced into me. My mind has learned to absorb new information because I forced it to do that. That's how it's going to preserve you. You know, when you get into your old age, you're not just going to be a mindless zombie on the brink of senility. Like, that's not what I want for anyone in this room. But look, that's what happens to a lot of people today, isn't it? They graduate, you know, maybe they go through college, they learn a few things, and then they just kind of get in this rut and they say, well, I just don't need to learn anything new now. I know everything I need to know. I don't need to read books. I don't need to, you know, learn about things. I don't take any kind of additional education because I just got this path and that's it. And what happens is the mind just kind of gets in that rut and we forget how to absorb new information. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll close in Proverbs chapter 1. So that's, you know, that I thought that was a real important part of the chapter here tonight in 1 Kings chapter 4 is that, you know, we like to talk about the wisdom of Solomon, and of course God gave him wisdom and knowledge and largeness of heart, right? But we can't just walk away from that and just say, well, you know, he didn't have to do anything to get that any of that wisdom on his own. Because we see that, you know, he did look into some other things. You know, he spoke about the natural world. And again, I understand that God was with him, but I believe that Solomon was also part of that wisdom was that he was wise enough to learn on his own, to seek things out, to learn things. Say, well, you know, that's just not for me. You know, I'm not a reader. I'm just not interested in it. I don't want to learn anything new. Well, look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones? You know, and simple is the Bible's way of saying, and very gently and nicely, stupid. I mean, basically, that's what it's saying. Let's bring it into the modern vernacular. You know, the King James is so hard to understand. What does it mean by simple? It means stupid. And just simple, being without understanding. I mean, that's what you say about somebody who's stupid? Just they don't know anything. Or they're kind of dumb, right? They're stupid. They're simple. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Isn't that why a lot of people, some people just don't have a lot of knowledge? You know, why do they end up like that? Because they love simplicity. Why would they love simplicity? Because simplicity is easy. Entertainment is easy. It's easier to be entertained, right, than to actually try to apply yourself and learn something. He said, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning? And look at that last part. And fools hate knowledge. I mean, that would be, any one of us say, hey, you know, here's some information. Oh, I hate learning things. I hate knowledge. Hey, I got an opportunity for you to be a wise person, to have understanding, to have wisdom, to have knowledge, to be somebody who has some intelligence. Oh, I hate that. I hate knowledge. We would say, you're a fool. That's what the Bible says. Fools hate knowledge. Well, I don't want to know that. And that's why a lot of people live their lives like fools, because they hate knowledge. You know, they're just all about getting into sin and just entertaining themselves and just chasing after the flesh and chasing after the things of the world. They don't want the knowledge of God, right? That's a lot. This is some knowledge a lot of people reject today, isn't it? And you know what they are? They're fools. They're fools for rejecting the knowledge that's in this book. And then we look at their lives and say, well, no wonder your life's a wreck. You reject the knowledge that's in here. No wonder that, you know, you're in the condition that you're in, that you're dealing with the things that you're dealing with. You reject knowledge. You're a fool. That's what the Bible says about people who reject knowledge, that they're fools. Look, let's not let that be said of us. Let's not live our lives in a way where we would say, well, we're foolish because we just don't want to learn anything. We just love simplicity too much. And look, I'm not saying you got to walk out of here and go earn a PhD somewhere. But you know, we should stay in the habit of learning new things. At the very least, to preserve our minds in our old age. You know, and we'll learn things along the way that'll benefit us. And of course, you know, if we're ignorant of this book, this is where it begins. This is where, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's where it all begins, is right here. Of course, learn this book, but never get into this place to say, well, I'm not going to broaden my horizons beyond the Bible. You know, learn other things too. You know, find something that interests you. Maybe, you know, history is very interesting. History's got a lot of cool things. You can learn a lot of interesting things. And in a very entertaining ways, you know. But don't be a person who hates knowledge, who loves simplicity, and just doesn't want to learn anything. It'll only harm you. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the knowledge that we have.
Turn our hymnals to Psalm number 49. Psalm number
shoe.
All I heard is,
Jesus,
oh,
just dies.
I'm
seen you in years, man. It's been like 5 years since I've seen you.
He's already growing a beard. Look at him.
Huh? He's growing a beard. Look at that. It's coming in thick.
It's so long. That's how I do it. I kind of I'll hit you up when you're done.
Yeah, because I got to leave because I got a little holiday.
Yeah, but if you could, man, this is more priority. If you can, I really need to get that done.
Yeah, so I told him I couldn't have the box done for the 14th.
Okay.
Well, he said that was fine. With an explanation.
I'll hit you in the morning for that. Do I have to go back to
my... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I gotta go.